Good evening. We are on Orachayim Tzurba, shiur number 8, the laws of Tfilin. And there are a couple of shiurim, and this shiur is specifically discussing the batim, the actual boxes of the Tfilin, and the retuot, the straps of the Tfilin. I guess we will see that most of the dinim of Tfilin, in fact, all the dinim of Tfilin are really halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. There are 10 of them. We'll see that in a moment. One of them is that the Tfilin has to be square, and square means very square. We'll see a machloket. To what extent, even if the corner is a little bit rounded or not, the halachot of the straps, right? Then we'll see interesting discussion about how much one should spend on tefillin. Bearing in mind that tefillin today, good tefillin have become very, very expensive items. This is not a cheap investment. You want to get a good pair of tefillin today. I would venture to say that a good pair of tefillin starts at $500. I don't even get a good pair of tefillin for under $500 today. And it can go anywhere up to $2,000 for, I'm talking about a reasonable pair. I'm not talking about like these little mekubalim type small ones. And they can be much more expensive. Sorry? I would say the average pair of tefillin, a decent pair of tefillin today, is probably about 3,000 shekels.
Like,
sorry, and those have got two pairs, and those have got five children, five boys, and then those have got cousins and nephews and everybody else. No, it can become a, and yourself. It's a serious, yeah, but let's discuss it. So now, it's a long shiur. Okay, it's longer than normal. Yeah, I like to spend a bit of time discussing the personalities that are quoted here. I might have to
it's
be.
As much as a poem,
sorry?
It's almost as much as a poem.
Yeah. The truth be told, is a phone you change every couple of years. Eh? It's fitting you, a good pair you keep for life. So when you think about it, maybe it's not so expensive. You maybe reconsider it's actually quite cheap. An iPhone today, a decent iPhone, not the 12, not the top of the range one, cost you about 2,700 shekels.
I can't wait to go about this
11. Right, the 11's about 3,500 shekels.
So
Michael makes a very good point. Actually, I'm thinking of deleting the whole shoe and starting it over again, but I won't because it is. But look, for the average, let's be honest, the average person who's buying tefillin in Israel isn't walking around with a 3,500 shekel phone. Let's put that in perspective. Walking around with like a 1,000 shekel phone or 700 shekel phone, whatever the case is. So it is an expensive item. You own tefillin if you don't live at home. If you're in yeshiva or you're married, or the case you go to grow every morning, put on your father's tefillin, it can become difficult. Although there's stories, my father tells in the story. Of the lots of stories during the Holocaust in concentration camps where guys lined up to put on tefillin to a rosh, guys were killed putting on tefillin. You know, a lot of the stories we discussed it. Into the shiur, starting on page 263. So the authors here talk about that. This is the second section of our Orachayim we're going to discuss, talking about tefillin. We spoke about tzitzit. And like I mentioned, a lot of the issues here are halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. There's an introduction here from the Sefer of Rav Chaim Palagi. And Rav Chaim Palagi, I don't speak too much about him because it's all written in the book on page 264. Rav Chaim Palagi was a big gadol, right, who was a chief rabbi in Israel in the 1800s, early 1800s, in Turkey, right? He's a big, big time in Chochem, and he writes a bit of Kabbalah as well. He says, he said that because he quotes from the Gemara Menachot, which we'll see again, that tzitzit we saw was all menachot, tefillin as well, a lot of menachot. I mean from the middle section here. He says, yeah, quite a menachot. Kol she'enu meniach tefillin over b'shmone asay. If you don't put on tefillin, you're being over on 8 mitzvot asay. And asibah hi she'konim tefillin b'bnei adam she'enam mumchim. Now he says like this. He says, there's a big problem here. He says, well, he's talking here not about people who don't put on tefillin at all, but people who put on tefillin, but don't put on kosher tefillin. He says, they being over on 8 mitzvot asay. He says, why? It's because they're a bunch of people who aren't experts. I don't know what they do. They don't understand everything. They basically walk in dark. It's an expression of, lo yadu v'lo yabinu b'chashecha yelecho. Ve'ilu, ve'isa afilu sove muvaku baki ve'bedinim avid lamata. Even great guys, experts sometimes come to make mistakes. Kol shekhan v'shmose v'shen yodea ha'umanut v'lo lamata dinim aburiya. People who aren't experts, they will learn properly. U'ma gam im yesh lo mi'ut yirat shemayim. A guy with hardly any fear of heaven. Why do you care? Right, ki elu nikrei marichei hagalut. These guys are called marichei hagalut. You go into lots of explanations here of why people who don't, who give you tefillin that aren't kosher, sell them to you. Right, osim kechatat Yerubam ben Navat. Yerubam ben Navat, that was the guy that took over. He was the first king of Israel. Right? After Amalek died, he led the revolt against Yerovam. Rehoboam, right? Who was the king of Judah. And he set up statues, and he encouraged people to go pray to idols to stop them going back to Arabite. And that's, he says, people who sell tefillin are like Yerovam ben Nevat, who for a bad tefillin. Right? V'hichtia tarabi. Now, I want to tell you something. This might sound crazy, but I, with my own eyes, have seen a pair of tefillin, unfortunately, sold here in Israel, where when opened up, there were comic strips inside the batim. Now, I've seen it with my own eyes. It's not something that's been made up. I haven't heard it from a vast third story. I've seen it. The guy said it to be checked. It opened them up. Inside the tefillin, there were comic strips rolled up in the tefillin, and a grandfather had bought it for his son. A non-religious grandfather bought them for his grandson, bar mitzvah, feeling very impressed, came from Israel to South Africa and brought them for his grandson as a present. And the son, or actually the son-in-law, wanted to have them checked after he already got them, and they were mamish cartoons inside, and I saw them with my own eyes.
So
these aren't just stories. They already happened. Okay. So therefore, it's important when you buy mezuzahs as well. The mezuzahs are easier because anybody can tell mezuzahs. You just got to roll it out, right? Batim, most people don't know how to open tefillin. So you're buying tefillin, you think that they're good, you spend your whole life wearing tefillin, and then you one day discover you're wearing comic strips in your tefillin. These might be a decent comic, you don't know about it. So maybe that could be open. And now what I want to do is, we're learning now in Daf Yomi Masechet Sukkah, and there's an amazing sefer called Mamarad, what it's called, I don't know what it's called actually, which we've got with pictures in, and it's mamash a pleasure to learn about Hilchot Sukkah when you're seeing pictures. And that's why I thought it was a good idea. I published a couple of pictures for you just to discuss them. Let's look through the pictures quickly if you can. Those of you who haven't got them, if I've got them here, I'm big on an iPad, you can see. So this, how does that work now? Oh, God. How do I move? Okay, here we are. This is how tefillin shorosh are made. Okay, there are two types of Bahama Gasa and Bahama Daka. So there are some tefillin that are made from small animal skins and they're sewn together. But a good pair of tefillin Bahama Gasa is made like this. I take one solid piece of leather, picture number two, the second picture. Right, a good solid piece of leather and push it out. There's a lot of treating it, of wet and drying it and making it wet, etc., etc. And then cutting out and getting one nice piece of leather which gives you the tefillin shorosh, specifically four boxes. Right? And though, if you don't go back to picture one, the order's wrong order, then you see that your four boxes look like this. You've got a nice pair of four boxes, and if you look on the edge, the leather is out, and that leather's going to be folded over, right? You see, there's the tifart and the ma'avarta. We'll see them in a moment. And then if you skip down to picture, the order just went completely wrong. If you pick down to picture number four, right? Look at picture number four. You can look at here for a second. Look at the picture. If you look here, you'll see at the end of the picture here, there's this piece over here before it's folded over. Can you see that? That's how it's made. So you've got a box like that, and then it goes through a whole, if you look, again, the picture number five, should be picture four, you can see over here, each of these little boxes are separate boxes. Actually, you've got a separator there. When we look at our tefillin today, it looks like one big box. The whole controversy about it to brew, that's this pamphlet over here called Tefillin HaCharutzot. Which I don't want to get into now, but trust me, this is going to be the future. We're going to have a lot of this on our heads, and we're going to get to it. We'll discuss it in a moment. But these boxes have to be four separate batim, as opposed to the yad, which is one big box. Okay, they have four separate batim. And min ha-din, they got written on four parchments. Written on one parchment, but yeah, it's okay. But now, and then, you look over here, picture number, I think it's about picture number three. So here you can see the four batim, and then they slip the parchments into each one, close them up, sew them up, and then you've got tefillin that looks like this. Now, I specifically chose this over here because we're going to learn about the tefillin, that on the tefillin there's a shin. Now, there's a shin on either side. And the shin is basically pushed out leather. So it's like part of the design of the leather. It's forced out. Right? On the one side, the shin has got three prongs of leather sticking out. The other side's got four. Now, why has it got a four-prong shin? We'll see here in the notes here. The English editors mention it. Because the one side is to show you what a shin looks like today, a shin, three-pronged shin. And on the other side, it's four, but if you look at the four, if you look at the gaps in my fingers, can you see the gaps in my fingers are three? Mm-hmm. So the tefillin, there's a Gemara, I think it's a Pesachim Megillah, which says that the Luchot HaBrit, right, were by Ness, the letters, right, that they were actually, it was cut out. So yes, so for example, the samach had the middle piece suspended in the air. It wasn't just a big round cutout, right? The samach was cut out and you had the middle piece inside, like a donut, right? Like today we've got a bagel, the opposite. Imagine the inverse of a bagel, right? So here's the idea of the fourth shin on the other side over here. If you look through, you actually see the shin in the three middle ones.
And you said that the shin was actually also pushed out from that.
It's made of the piece. It's not stuck on. No, no, no. It can't be stuck on. The shin is forced out of the forged out of the leather, right? And if you look over here, you can see one of the pictures that I sent over here. One of the pictures you can see like in the raw hide of the tefillin.
Or picture number one, where there's that big bit sticking out.
Or picture number one. Now that big thing over here is the fold around. That's your underneath of the tefillin. Seen the pictures? We've got an idea of what the tefillin process looks like, tefillin shorosh. So we discussed like this. So basically, the source for tefillin, again, is in Parashat Dvarim. We've seen it now the last couple of parashas, right, which we've been reading in Shema. So you've got to tie these things to your hands and put these signs, whatever latotafot or whatever tatafot are, right? Phylacteries in English, but it's not really a word that. I don't know where that word comes from. But like they translate it as ornaments in front of your eyes. And then again, v'samtem et ra'ele al levavchem, on your heart, v'al nafshechem, so ukshartem otam ot alechem, tie them to your arms, in between your eyes. Okay, so bottom line is that we've got a Gemara in Masechet Menachot, where we saw that a lot of these things come from in Daf Lamed Hay, and there's another Gemara in Masechet Shabbos in Daf Kafchet, and all these Gemaras rattle off a whole bunch of things which are halakha l'moshe m'Sinai. I think for sake of time, because you can all read them, it's very easy, right, if you go with me to page 286, at the end, there's a very nice, in the summary of the laws of tefillin, the batim, there's a 10 halachas l'moshe m'Sinai, which requirements of tefillin. The one is you have to use ink when you write the tefillin, like a Sefer Torah. The other, you have to write them on parchment. The other thing is you have to form a titura. What is a titura? Right, a titura is the bayit. Right, now look on page 266. I know I'm making you jump around. 286, you can see over here that you've got the tefillin, the boxes on the top. And you've got this like box at the bottom. Can you see this like base at the bottom? That's called the titura. That's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. You can't just have the tefillin, the four boxes on their own. You have to have this base as well. Okay? Then while we're on the pictures as well, you'll see there's a ma'abarta. Ma'abarta from the word ma'avar, to pass through. So all of us who know we wear tefillin, we've got a ma'abarta. Our tefillin, the strap can slide in and out, right? It's not, the strap's not attached to the tefillin. That's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. You have to have a strap that can slide in and out, right? Then you form the tefillin square, including the titura and the stitch. So everything has to be very square. These are all Gemaras. That the tefillin has to be perfectly square. When we say perfectly square, literally on the diagonal. Square, perfectly, perfectly square, right? Big with you in a moment. And even the stitching has to be a perfect straight line. If the stitching goes at an angle, it's in a puzzle. The stitching, right? And then the engraving a shin on the sides of the shin. Rosh. Okay, so engraving is not really the right word because it's more like you engrave around the shin. So actually you don't engrave the shin, you engrave everything. In other words, you what? You don't put the shin on. It's part of the leather. Oh, is that embossing? Okay, so you like emboss. Okay, but I guess you don't emboss the shin. You emboss everything around the shin. The shin sticks out. It's not embossing. The shin is the protrusion. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, okay, exactly. Okay, you got the idea. Then you've got to tie the batim with animal hair. It has to be kosher as well. So those stitches from sinews of a kosher animal. Then dyeing the batim black. Now, that's actually a bit of a machlok. The day we put it here as a story about Elohim, which we'll see in a moment. Not only Shorim say that, agree that you have to be black. The Rambam has held that it has to be black. Can have the only thing everybody agrees in is that if you ask me, I would venture to say this is actually a mistake over here. I'm actually looking into this. I think there's not the batim black, the straps have to be black. The outside of the strap has to be black. Okay, we'll come to that in a moment. And then you have to have the knots on the straps, right? And then also we know the knots, you have to have there's the Shaddai, Hashem's name is Shin Dalet Yud. On the tefillin, we've got the shin on the back. On the here, we've got the dalet in the knot. We'll see in a moment. You have dalet in the knot. And then, you have the dalet in the knot. And then there's the yud on the arm, on the strap over here is the yud. And there's also people of different customs, and they tie the tunic around their arms. We'll see there's a mitzvah as well for the straps to come a certain length. You want to tie it at least a cup 3 times around your hands. We do more than 3 times around your hands. We do 6 times around your hands. And then we have a shin dadad nude as well. On that, those are all minhagim. Okay. So now, that is these gemaras, which I skipped to the gemaras. I don't like to do that, but it's like I said, it's very, very long shir. And I want to discuss in a bit more detail the actual halachot of that come out of the gemaras. So now go to page 269. We've seen that the 10 halachot of Moshe Mitzrayim. We've seen the tefillin have to be square. They've got the shin. We've seen how they're made. 4 different chapter things pressed out, etc. So now the Beit Yosef, right, quotes a gemara Menachot on page 269. Beit Yosef being the Beit Yosef of Joseph Kari, who wrote the Shulchan Aruch. We've discussed him already. So he writes in Perek HaKomet in Menachot Dav Lamed Dad. He says there's a brighter. Kodvan al-arba orot menachin ba-arba batim. You write on 4 parchments and you put them into 4 different chambers. Ba-or echad, made out of 1 piece of ore, out of 1 leather. V'chatu b'sefer ha-truma. Right, now again, I'd like to discuss him in a lot more detail. We apologize, we'll be short for time tonight. Sefer HaTruma is a very, very famous Rishon, right? He lived in the 1200s. His name was Baruch Ben Yitzchak. He's been considered a lot of people. He was one of the Balei Tosfot, right? And he wrote a lot of halochas. He wrote on tefillin. And he's an important Rishon. The Beit Yosef quotes him a lot. And he says over here, he says, V'katub Sefer HaTruma Perush, She'yiyu ha'arba batim mechubrem yachad mi'or echad, that these 4 chambers should be joined together from 1 piece of leather. Or shema mi'arba, maybe they're 4 and they're sewn together, those 4 chambers. Will be avad shiyu tfurim, so as long as they're sewn together, v'tov nachon esod or echad. So you see already over here, the 2 possibilities that he says are okay, but ideally should be 1 piece of leather, but if they're from 4 and they're sewn together, it's also okay. That's why you have tefillin today, which come from Bahama Daka, from less, not bulls, from small, cheap, small animals, and you see they're very more flimsy, you can feel they're lighter and they're thinner, etc. Or you've got Bahama Gasa, made from an ox, from a big, nice animal pressed out, and those are the more hidur mitzvahs. Right? So that was the Sefer HaTruma. And the Yalkut Yosef, that's Yitzchak Yosef, Abad Yosef's son, he writes, you should try and be mahader. Right? Like hidur, we got in Sukkah, the same thing of hidur mitzvah, right? Priyat Sadar, have a better mitzvah, to be Yotze, l'kule alma. So, if you put 4 together, you're okay. Right? He says, like, it's Mikol Makom. I'm reading it now, about 4 or 5 lines from the bottom. Lo ba'inan shi'atiturah v'hama'avar t'morecha. He says, that's for the 4 top boxes. Those chambers should be 1 piece. But if the bottom, the titura, that part of the bottom with ma'avar to where the straps go through is not, that's okay. Lechatchila, we want the top things to be done. And afilimu obifne atzwa kasha. And he says, v'chei minega olam, funny enough. Now, I don't think that's the case. From all the tefillin I've ever seen being made from Bahama Gasses, like we saw in the picture, yeah, it's all 1 piece folded around. He seems to imply that the way the world works, that the top is 1 piece and the bottom is separate. Interesting. When we call makom hecher efshat for gamazes, however, it's still better to do it all from one. So we can see already, a bit of leeway over here. Now, the question is, how big do these batim have to be? Now, if you've seen Lubavitchers, they're like the big ones. You've seen Lubavitchers wear these big tefillin, and as big as you can get. If you walk in around the old city of Jerusalem today, so it's become much more fashionable the last, I'd say, 15 years or so, for Mekubalim to walk around wearing tefillin all day long, and they wear 2 pairs of tefillin, if you've seen them, right? 2 pairs of tefillin. The second one is normally under their kippah. The one is showing, the second one isn't showing. If you look carefully at their straps, you'll see that there's a strap on top of a strap. You look carefully at them, right? So they don't show the second one, but they're wearing Rashi and Rabban Tam, and they've got very, very, very small ones. We're going to see in a moment they shouldn't be too small. When they're too small, they aren't really written properly. And so if you notice at the beginning of this year, I said that the average price is so-and-so, unless you get the very, very small ones. Now, for a very small pair of tefillin to be written very well is a very expensive story. Because now you've already got minuscule writing on very mahadar. You see these guys wear 2. And that comes from a Gemara that says basically it's placing your head here for 2 pairs of tefillin. So that's the measure that we get. We know that tefillin can't be too big because you can only wear a place to fit 2 pairs. And it can't be too small, right? Either because you can't get too small a tefillin. So you're more limited. So the average size we'll see over here. So you see over here, the Gemara in Eruvin states that the space person had to place 2 pairs of tefillin. This is the Gemara, right? Right, so if we see that the body were not particularly large, I had seen that. Okay, that's what I just said. The Shulchan Aruch says as follows: that orech berochav abatim v'govhan ain lo shiur. Shulchan Aruch writes in Orachayin on the bet that the length, the breadth, the height, there's no shiur. Not in the right. The Mishnah Berurah on that says, however, the Mishnah Berurah here quotes a whole bunch. It's unbelievable, Mishnah Berurah. In 5-6 lines, he quotes four gedolim from across the history. And just like he writes, they all were living next to him in the same room. And I really wanted to spend a lot of time on them. But we're not going to spend too much time on them. I'll just discuss only one of them. So he says, so we should be sensitive to what the Gaonim said. That they said, you shouldn't make them smaller than 2 fingers by 2 fingers. Smaller than this size over here. Smaller than 2 fingers. Oh, that's pretty small, eh? That's about one and a half centimeters, something like that. It's very, very small. Shouldn't make them smaller than that, right? And that's with the titura, with that box underneath. So not just the actual tefillin themselves, just the box itself. Shouldn't be smaller than that. Which means the boxes with the 4 tefillin can be quite a lot smaller. Right? V'hainu imat v'ayein v'olata tamid. Now he quotes a sefer here called Olata Tamid. Right? This is a sefer, the guy is a Polish guy in the 1600s. Right? That he wrote quite a lot of halacha. He wrote particularly on this. He wrote on certain cherakim of the Shulchan Aruch, and he writes there, "The im ein machzik imatitura rak etzpa etzpa filu b'dievet pasul." See, only one finger, it's already pasul even b'dievet. The chayim pasak b'sefer biur Mordechai, right? And he quoted the biur Mordechai as well. The biur Mordechai from Moravia. This is a guy who lived in the 1700s. He was actually it's quite interesting because he was a Talmud of the Noda Yehuda. It's a whole long story over here. 1750s approximately. That he wrote as well, and he says, he refers us to Eliyahu Rabbah. Eliyahu Rabbah is interesting. Eliyahu Rabbah, right, was a rabbi in Prague, and he actually wrote his Perush on the Levush, on the Shulchan Aruch, and it's written, published in the Shulchan Aruch, though, so it's quite confusing to look at it when you're trying to find, look at the Eliyahu Rabbah, but it's serious, Acharon. Eliyahu Rabbah writes over there, also around about the 1700s, he says, Shelimed Aleim Schut. He says, guys, you've got it too small. He goes with them. He says, there's something to be done. For Mikol Makom Siyem, he ends up himself. The whole Baal Nefesh, the Helasun Hatitur, Rochav, Straight, it's by Mikotak, the Gaonim says, you should try and have at least 2 fingers. So he says, don't be too small. Okay? But notice, no one's saying, don't be too big. Ulevad kol elu matzui mod be elu atfilin aktanim she pashlehen gruot ad mod bitzad docha kamak. He says that you found these small tefillin that their pashle are very bare because there's no space. Kasher be'enai ra'iti arba yisrael. I've seen lots of them. Alkeina shomer nafsho yishmoim. People are going to be careful. But as you see, there's no mention of how big they can be. But again, it's got to fit into a certain place on your head. So you can't make them too big. But I imagine we'll get to later on in the show exactly where. It's very important where you put on tefillin. A lot of people make a mistake where they put tefillin on both the knot and the bite, and as a result, a lot of opinions they actually aren't putting on tefillin. So we'll get to that separately. But now the issue of them being square. So this is pretty important. The Gemara Yaminachot again says tefillin merubaot rachal Moshe b'Sinai. It's one of the things we saw there, right? So Rav Papa says betafran ubalachsonan. When you in the stitching and on the diagonal, right? So it's pretty important. If you look at the Gemara here, Rashi in the Menachot, he says, "Tefillin b'tefillin, b'tefillatan yishmoret ribuan shoyimshoch chuta tefira yoter midash lo yikvetzu v'yikatzer ochvo." See the stitching. Don't be careful with how you are with the stitching, right? And what's ba'alachson mean in the diagonal? She'er ribuan mechuvan orko kerochvo k'leshiyeh lahem oto alachson. You want to have on basically like a perfect square along them, right? Perfect. Not longer. Talking about the actual part of the box itself, right? Where the varanis, where the straps come out, is outside this area we're speaking about already. Right? Now the issue of round tefillin, we're going to the whole thing, we're quite a round tefillin for a couple of reasons which we won't discuss now. Now, it says over here, what if to tefillin on a practical basis? You wear tefillin, and we spoke at the beginning of the shiur, that most people keep tefillin for their whole lives. Some people change them when they get a little bit older. Right? But what happens? Your tefillin start getting a little bit rounded at the corners. And they lose that sharpness like when you bought them the first day. So what happens? See, you know, the Beit Yosef over here, Tzimul Amid Bet, quotes the Maharam Rottenberg. We've spoken about him quite a lot, right? Maharam Rottenberg. And he mentions over here, Matzati b'tshuva Ashkenazit, in a German tshuva from Germany. Right? Rottenberg, right? Doesn't mention him by name. Now, Now, we learned recently in Hilchot Tzitzit what was important when you made the Tzitzit, because remember, if a Tzitzit had broken off afterwards, as long as we had two or three, don't we go into it now, I mean, there were, the Tzitzit was still kosher. Remember, there's enough place to tie the knot around, and how long would it be, you tie a bow in that piece of wood left over, we learned all those halachas. He says, that's with regard to Tzitzit. That the making, at the time you make them, they've got to be perfect. If they get a little bit damaged afterwards, it's like there's leeway. He says, the Hainu Dafka Tzitzit, Vasulahem Tzitzit, make yourself Tzitzit, Klomar, Beshaat Asiya Dafka Kapit Kra, the Torah, particularly when you make them. However, when it comes to Tfilin, Merubaot Halacha Le Moshe Misinai, and therefore, the whole Shata, Be'inan Shiyu Merubaot, the Rami Rotterberg says, yeah, Tfilin can't start off being square and then become round. They've got to be square all the time. Now, to what extent? Now, interesting aloha, yeah, we see. Shulchan Aruch says that if you do them, if you asam rubot, vacharz ma mikal ruan, yesh mi shomesh is a rich levan. Those who say, referring here, of course, to the Rabbi Rottenberg, saying that, that you should straighten them out. Now, the Mishnah Berurah over here says as follows on the Shulchan Aruch, on that Shulchan Aruch. He says that kagon nitkalkel, if they became messed up, kagon shnit kamuha, but if they became a bit rounded, zepure mizrach, the tefillin, actually not only the corners, the actual tefillin became a bit, what's the word I'm looking for? They lost their form, they became a bit warped. Thank you, warped. Imagine they're warped now, right? And they're like, not 100% square, they're a little bit wrong. He says, kagon says zepure, they actually use the word warped over here? No, bent out of shape. He says, yeah, kagon shenit akmu abatim, zepure mizrach zebul arav, or shnit kalkel chude abatim gab, all the corners became, the sharp corners became very burnt, they damaged, achin nase agot, they rounded, or shnit kalkel hitatura or atfira, or if that bottom part became bad, or the straps came, or the sewing came undone, achin avdu, they lost their squareness. So now, the Mishnah Berurah says, that's called nit kalkel, right? So now, the Aruch HaShulchan, and he's basically going on the Shulchan Aruch, who says, Yeshmi She'omesh Lech Rabban, referring to the Beit Yosef, of course, which is quoting the Marami Rotterberg, takes a very hard line. He says, Alach L'moshe B'Sin, they have to always be square. The Aruch HaShulchan, right, we've seen the Aruch HaShulchan already, says over here, he says, Umani Krakilku, what's called, referring to the Shulchan Aruch, what's called that the squares are damaged? He says, it seems to me they become a bit, shrunk a bit, on the length of the bit, it's they're missing a bit. He says, those who want to say, quoting this basically back to the Maharam, it's called, once it happens, it's called that they're ruined. He says, however, I don't doubt him, humble opinion, I don't believe that that's the fact. That's the case. Why? He gives two reasons. He says, Chada, Sharibua, Lonikal Kelbazi, the fact that the corners have been a little bit rounded, the square is still square, right? The square shape is still a square shape. The hachidud husar mi ha'orech v'arocha b'shaveh. They're equally moved away now. So it's equal. It happens all around. V'im tomash deot finin agolim v'lo merim. They say it's now round, not square. Ze vada yoter talet. That's crazy to say. He says, that's ridiculous. Sha'at finin ha'rubim b'mak. The finin are square. He says, what? Atu im chidre haktsavot ele mechudadim kroi ne'evad shay meruba b'tmiya. He said, with a question mark. You try to tell me, because the size is a little bit rounded, the tefillin lost their shape? What are you talking about? He says, l'dati zesh, this is what chachamim say, beribua uv'al chosonok moshe nipa'er. He says, ever the Rambam, in Reg Peshli, he says like this, v'al achsonan beribua, on the diagonal to be square, ad sheyeh lahed arba zaviot shavot. He says, ad gets a Rambam, that we equal. V'kavanato mevueret, what do we mean? The haikar da zaviot yushva, that the angles are correct. In other words, look at this iPad over here. The angles, this is a perfectly good, okay, it's a rectangle, but these are parallel. But they've got round corners. They haven't lost their shape because the corner's a little bit rounded. So they still keep the shape. Shape's still perfect, right? V'im ken afheim chidu ha-miktsot v'amabakach, says, mikom akom neshav. He says like this, for Mosai says, the law nitna Torah le malachei hasharet, on page 274, says the Torah wasn't given to angels. Torah was given to human beings. It's an amazing comment that. And therefore, he says, human beings, you know, things wear out. You don't suddenly throw out your clothes because they're a little bit worn. As long as they still cover you and they look a little bit decent. So that's okay. The kilkul azabi to be'echrach, it's going to happen. So that's the Aruch HaShulchan. The Piskei Tshuvas, we've seen them before as well. This is from the Ali family, right? I forget their names now. Anyhow, right? Lives in Jerusalem. So he says over here, Rabinovitz. He says over here, Asherot be'inyan zeh mitzuyot ma'od. These questions are common. Maskar alacha al pi direha bi'ar alacha. That's Mishnah Berurah. Shagli aposkim. He says like this. On the one hand, kol shnifgam kashir chagirat hatziporin, a millimeter of tikkun. If you've got a gap in the thing, like a millimeter that your finger can get stuck on it, that really needs fixing. Interesting, right? He uses that measure, right? He says, and if the corners are meshed, he says, quotes the Aruch HaShulchan, without quoting Aruch HaShulchan. He says, don't forget that Torah wasn't given to angels, and therefore it can't be, it's not always possible, and you don't always have to fix it. It's not necessarily completely possible. So we see quite a nice kula over there, which helps a lot of us people, because, I mean, a lot of people, their tefillin and the corners are a little bit rounded, not aren't as sharp as they once were. And we're seeing over here an opinion that on the one hand, the Ram Rottenberg says it should be sharp and square and perfect. And the Shulchan quotes him, the Shulchan quotes him, he refers to him as well. Aruch HaShulchan, the Piskei Halachos afterwards, comes and gives a bit more leniency here if your corners are a little bit rounded. Okay. Obviously, in terms of Hiru, one should try and have them perfect. But the question is, are they puzzle or puzzle? We see it about now the issue of black. And that's why I said I think it's a mistake over here in those 10 things there about black. So the Gemara Menachot once again said, "Ritzuot shchorot halacha lemoshe misina." Notice that ritzuot, the straps have to be black halacha lemoshe misina, not the tefillin themselves, the straps. Right? And he says, "So that's." Then he said over here, but what about he says tefillin ain't kosher not to b'mina and b'nyuk. Look at the Gemara here. He says, "Mate, the Gemara is a kasha over here. The Gemara brings a kasha on a brighter." He said, "One may tar the tefillin." Right, ain't kosher to any b'mina. You can't tie the tefillin with their own type of material with the leather. Bain, look at this. Bain yerukot, bain shchorot, bain levanot. Whether they're black, yellow, or white. Adumot lo yaseh. You can't use red. Bipnei gnai v'dvarachet or achet. In the English, people might think it's generation with the menstruating woman and the blood came out and etc. So Moshe said, "Look, Kasha. What do you mean by black? And the inside can be any color. The black is the outside. Maybe fnim." Right? If it's outside, it has to be black. Inside, it has to be black. What's the kashya? Where can it go in? The Rambam is interesting. Because the Rambam Paschal, now some of you might have seen. Now, did I send that picture? I think I sent the picture as well. Have I not seen a picture of tefillin straps? If you look at the picture of tefillin straps, you'll see there are two different tefillin straps. There's a dark roll there and a lighter roll. The lighter roll is black on the outside, white on the inside, like most of our tefillin. The dark one is the Rambam Shitta. Black on the outside and black on the inside. Become quite popular the last few years. So if any of your nephews or children or if you've got young kids have been asking for that, in schools today around the world it's become quite popular, black on the inside, black on the outside. The interesting thing is the Rambam doesn't have to be black on the inside or black on the outside. The Rambam just says that your tefillin strap on the inside has to be the same color as your bayit, as your tefillin. The straps on the outside have to be black. The tefillin itself can be any color, not red. And in whatever color the tefillin are, the inside of the strap has to be the same color. So because most of us have our, all of us have our tefillin on the outside black, so the Rambam strap therefore says the inside of the strap has to be black as well. That's where it comes from. Look at Rambam. Hilchot tefillin gira. Harutzot shel tefillin, bein shel rosh, bein shel yad. Both them, hands and yad. Pneihem achitzonim shchorim. The outside, aloch lemosh, has to be black. Reading on page 275. Vezo alacha lemosh misina. But achorei haritzuot, but the back of them, hoyil mifnim hein ima yurukot levanot ksherot. Since the inside, it can be green, right, or white, or any color. Adubot le aseh, but you can't do red. Shemet tafech l'tzav v'gnai, because it might turn around, and we know it can't have red. Right, but look at the Rambam, the Kesh in the Rambam there. V'lo yihyeh achorei haritzuot le'olam ele ka'enach tzitzak. Size actually tune in itself. So that's all the Rambam says. Rambam says that your inside of the strap has the same color as your tefillin. If your tefillin are yellow, the strap must be yellow. If tefillin are blue, the strap must be blue. If they're green, green, back of the strap can be green. Perfectly kosher tefillin. We all accustomed to everything being black. So we think that's the halacha. But the halacha is that the straps have to be black. There are some Rishonim that think that the tefillin should be black as well. But Tosfot Aviyah says, Ritzuot shchorot halacha l'moshe misinai, right? And look, he says, yeah, but kaivan de machich shu'a rutsu'ot shchorot kamo ak tzitza, and Tosfos wants to say, since, this is Tosfos in Masechet Shabbos, since the rutsu'ot have to be like the box itself, he says, kol shekain dinat shu'u torot kamo ak tzitza. That should be kosher. But then it will be black. right? Doesn't have to be black. Shulchan Aruch yes, lochem shmei sinai shirutzot shchorot from the outside, b'chutz. But mitzad pnim se shulchan Aruch yaseh me'ezet tzeva sheyirtze. Make the inside of the strap whatever color you want, other than red, like we saw already. Right? That's shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch in Orachaim Lavan Bet says or habatim mitzvah lasotor shachor. Doesn't say lochem shmei sinai. That the mitzvah is black. Look at the Mishnah Berurah. What do you mean by mitzvah? He says, "Mashma b'di'eved eino le'ikuva." So, what do you mean by the Rambam talking about saying mitzvah that your tefillin should be black? If you didn't make it black, it doesn't prevent you using tefillin. Not ma'akev. The yesh poskin is free lehu dehu halacha l'moshe misina kemo harutzot le'ikuva hu afilu b'di'eved. There's some Bereshulim think is one is lochel moshe misina. I don't know if that's right. Or bira gra mashma shu mitzaded ked halacha. The gra seems to say yes. V'chem shod Yaakov. V'chem mashma eli yarav. We saw already b'sharei kness nagdolad yesh lahachmir. If you ever got black tefillin, either you've got a white or yellow or green, put on tefillin. Don't not wear put on tefillin, right? But a lot of Rishonim say that doesn't have to be at all. Now, the interesting question here is a big machloka whether the inside should be black or not. He quotes in the Shara Kavon of the Arizal. He says that Tzarich sheyashchireim panim va'achor shchurot ke'orev, black like a black raven, in and out. The Ben Ish Chai, we saw Ben Ish Chai already, we saw about him by 2:40 in last week's shir. We said Ben Ish Chai was like the equivalent of like a kitzur shulchan aruch of the Sfardim, right? It's very common, serious sefer. And he's like, "Afa gav da al pi asod." Because a lot of this, listen to the, a lot of this stuff is Kabbalistic. It's, even though according to Sod, the Kabbalistic side, mashchin tzot pnim vachor shchorot kored, black inside and outside. Can iskar b'shara kavrot rabbein, I quote the Arizal, right? He says, "Lo nahagu b'chach." Ben Ish Chai says, we didn't see it. V'sha'alti al minhaga chasidim v'ira kodesh. Right? And he said, ask the chasidim in ira kodesh, meaning Jerusalem, right? This tough vav bet stands for tibane v'tikonen v'mheru b'yameinu. It should be rebuilt good in our times. Right? V'amru li sheyesh nizarin l'ashchir panim v'achor v'yesh emedak tikim b'zeh. So already he says, the Ben Ish Chai says, put from the oldest in Yerushalayim. Pre-state, right? What was it? The Shevet HaLevi, right? The Shuta the Shevet HaLevi over here. So Vosne, Vosne died recently. I think so. She's like a glacier. Poskarod lo chashul anhiga filu l'noi ba'am. He says the Gedolim of Israel never worried about it, even for not for looking at nas. Uvalayalem tam. And for no doubt, they had a reason about it. Why did they do it? Badulu nigu kem b'devar kal b'zeh. And that's my argument about this. When we get to this, right? Why didn't they do it? It was so easy to do. Im kein lama lan neshanot pnei alacha. Why didn't they lo chay miyachinim na idagu kein? They want to do it. Good for them. Aval anhig derech hora. Loreti tzorech vehine vehenach lehem Israel. Why? Says we can rely on Am Israel. Why? Because ki b'nei neviim hein, they are children of prophets, and if they know what they're doing, and if it wasn't done for so many generations, we'd have to start doing it over now. Okay. So that is, so we've seen over here the bottom have to be square. Everybody agrees. If the corner's a little bit round, into the world, the straps have to be black. The outside of the strap, not into the strap. The Rambam says the outside. The inside of the strap is the same color as the tefillin. So if your tefillin is black, inside the strap has to be black as well. We've seen the Ben Ish Chai says no. So we've seen that. Now we get onto the knot, the actual knot of the tefillin. So this is also halacha l'moshe mi'sinai, right? And also Gemara Menachot, Aviyataf Lamedah, I'm reading on 278. So Rabbi Yehuda Bereid B'Shmuel by Shelet Mishmai Derav, Kesher Shel Tila Chosh Mi'sinai. The knot on the tefillin. Now, a lot of us, there's different mean hagrin in the knot, right? Something like a square, like it looks like a four cubical thing. It turns, it's got some sort of dalit in it. Others have a more complicated dalit. We'll get to it, maybe we'll even learn to make a dalit. Let's make the tzitzit, then maybe we'll learn to make a dalit. It's quite complicated. All right. So Rashi over there says, he says over here, she asima rutsuot arosho binyan she dalit. Put it with the straps you read, sometimes there's a dalit. Kadesha there could be Shaddai. You want to see the name Hashem Shakai on his head. You want the dalit to see on the knot. And the yud you want to see on your hand. And we've got the shin on the tefillin itself. You got shin. The Shulchan Aruch Aviyah says that yesh tizaher shlo tazuz yud shla keshe mi atfila. Now this is very, very important halacha. We're discussing the head at the moment. He says it in the Shulchan Aruch. When you, in your tefillin shel yad, you've got the strap, the knot. And the yud is that little chupchik at the end of your strap. It's very important that yud touches the tefillin all the time. Some people even have, I think I've got it, like a little piece of gut, which my software put on it so that it like keeps it to it. But some people don't. Very important. You must always pay attention to that. If you haven't got a little thing, it's worth it. Putting a little bit of gut there, tying it together. Keep that yud attached to it. Okay, that's a shukran.
Used to tie it?
I think we'll use gut. I don't think they'd have to be from the same materials as the tefillin. It's not like the actual sewing. Right, I'm going to use the gut. Okay. So now there's a difference in the minhag of Ashkenazim and Haris Sfaradim, etc. How you tie the straps, the whole story, we won't get into that. Each one according to their own minhag. With regards to the length of the straps, now if you saw, I sent a picture over here, a nice picture of a nice Israeli soldier putting on tefillin. Right, the reason that I sent that picture was I was looking for a picture where we could try and see where the tefillin came up to. Now notice where his straps end. The right side is always longer than the left one, okay, in the front. The right one should be longer than the left one. We'll see that can be pretty short, but the opinion should be pretty long. And it should go down to, we'll say, to your Brit Miller. That's an opinion, that the rest straps should go all the way down and right parallel to your zip in your pants. That's a good way to check, right? So we'll see over here. Say like this. Shulchan Aruch said like this, that as far as the length of the straps the hand one should be able to go all the way around your hand, right? So your muscle over here should be able to tie the knot and then put it across down to your fingers, right? And go over your fingers at least 3 times. But he says, and the custom is to on your hand to do 6 or 7 straps around your hand, 6 or 7, he says over here, right? And as far as the straps of the shorosh are concerned, right, the straps should hang down so that they're hanging in front of you and should get up to your belly button, right? Or the malim or a little bit above that. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Mishnah Brura says, right, that the right strap should come to your belly button, to your chest. Ubetur, he says, the right one down to where your breast was, up to your left one to your belly button. Okay. So now, basically, if the strap's a little bit shorter than this, you can still make a brocha. See the note number 60 on page 280. That's in the Chazon Ish. That we've got all these measurements, etc. But you can still, if it's a little bit shorter than that, you can still make a brocha. Right, so I think it's most of us doing okay. So the Piska Tshuva says, the minhag olam over here, that the straps, mishtal shtot od yoter, upadil utzot yamin tiyeh aruka. Main thing is that the rap should be longer than the left one. And he says the last thing, which a lot of people doing, it's that the shir upstairs. V'tochvim arutzuot letoch avnet och agrakles yu misurot biyosher lenoi ha-mitzvah. He says, make it nice. You tie them into your belt, the tefillin straps, they always stay nicely. First, it's one nice way, I don't do this, but it's a nice way of keeping the tefillin facing the right way. The straps should be facing the right way when you're davening. Tuck them into your belt, looks nice. That's a good idea that he gives. Shulchan Aruch says, Roche Ratzuot Shilyad. Now, what's the width of the actual straps themselves? It says the width of the Shilyad and Shirosh should be as wide as, he says over here, a Se'orah, right? Like a barley grain. It's about a centimeter. 0.8 of a centimeter, I think, maybe even. We've measured from Hilchodid. It's about a centimeter, right? Mishnah Brura says, well, he says over here, that should be machmir a little bit, that he's the priest, why as a wheat grain, and if it's only as wide as a wheat grain, which is a little bit smaller, then put it without a brocha. Okay. Now, the question we come to, we start off this year, how much does one spend on purchasing tefillin? So it comes back to really any mitzvah, right? And how much you got to spend on a mitzvah. On a mitzvah at Lota, I say, you got to spend on money, right? On a mitzvah at Asay, I think it's like up to about a fifth of your money, 20%, I think, is what you're going to spend. Now, the question, how much you spend over and above that? He says over here, Rabbi Zaira says, a hiru mitzvah, a shlish per mitzvah, but about a third more than what the average price would be. So if the average price is tefillin, you should try and spend about a third more than that. Okay? You want to be a bit mahader, right? That's basically the bottom line over here. And he quotes the Tosfot over here, a shlish mitzvah. He says that... the Tosfot says that it should be going on size. So Tosfot says, "At shlish mitzvah perusha im matzah etrog." With regard to tzukas, ke goz k'moshe shiru chachamim ve'chagelo yon shlish yekaneu. Buy the bigger one. Yekaneu. Buy the bigger one. Now, in the notes of this, basically, it's pretty much the same size. Because the bigger one's probably going to cost more than a smaller one. So already, you're back to square one when you're buying a better one, right? But over here, whether Rashi Tosfot, whether it should actually be in size or in value, I think we paskin more that it should be more in size. What's interesting over here on the machshava point, this is from the Pnei Halacha Rabbi Eliezer Belamed. So over here, he says that what does tefillin really represent? So I'm just reading a little part of it. You can read them all yourself afterwards. He says that tefillin, he says, like a slave Shnosima gufam, on the one hand, smalo shel Adonam. Like a slave in the old days would be sort of like branded with a it's like, you know, who he belonged to. Tefillin basically show who we belong to. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, tefillin also like a crown. That's one of the reasons we spoke about this recently, right? That an avel, the first day of avelut, doesn't put on tefillin. Because tefillin is pe'er. Tefillin is glory. And you've got to put ashes where your pe'er is. How can you put on a pe'er on the day of avelut? So those are the two sides of the coin of machshava. On the one hand, it's like showing who our owner is. On the other hand, we're seeing it's also a type of glory, like the crown of Am Yisrael, that we've chosen by Hashem to be His chosen people. And ends of Aviyah by quoting Gemara Menachot, says, "Kol ha-meniach tefillin." Anybody who puts on tefillin, ma'arich yamim, right? His days will be longer. He'll be married to have a long life. Quoting the pasuk in Yeshayahu that says, "Hashem alehem yichyu." Hashem is above all of them, and they will live. Something good to do. We'll carry on next few weeks, learning more about tefillin.